So his famous parak, you had mentioned Zion Kiveres Devorim, a pihan. Now we're talking about a pihan that is resting on the ground, but not cemented to the ground. If the beehive was actually cemented to the ground, then everybody would hold that the beehive has the same thing as the ground itself. Since it's cemented to the ground, it's part of the ground and has the same thing as the ground. But in this case, we're talking about where the Kiveres Devorim, where the beehive is resting on the ground, but not cemented to the ground. Rabbi Eliezer said that even though the beehive is not cemented to the ground, since it's resting on the ground, it has the same din as the ground itself. So when somebody acquires karka, there are different kinyanim to be made than the kinyanim that would be made when you acquire metaltum, and metaltum are movable objects. When you acquire karka, a piece of land, the kinyanim are kesef, star, or chazaka, handing over the money, that's kesef, or handing over the star, that's the kinyan of star, or chazaka. Chazaka is doing some kind of work on the ground, that's the kinyan of chazaka. Now, when you're konam mitalpa, when you're konam movable object, there are other kinyanim. Meshicha or hagba, by pulling it or by picking it up. But the kinyanim that work by karka, keter, star, or chazaka, would not work by mitalpa. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says that a kiveres devarim, a beehive that's resting on the ground, it has the same din as the karka, and the kinyanim that are used are the kinyanim that are used as karka, such as kesef, star, or chazaka, but not the kinyanim that are used by metaltolim, such as meshicha or hakbah. The kaisman allowed prusbal. And so too, if the kiveres farm is resting on the ground, and somebody borrowed money, and the lender wants to write a prusbal, and we had previously that you could only write a prusbal if the borrower has some karka. And what would be if the borrower has no karka, but all he has is a kiveres varm, a beehive that's resting on somebody else's ground? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the kiveres varm has the same din as karka, so even though the borrower doesn't technically own karka, he only owns the kiveres varm, that would be sufficient to allow the lender to write a prusbal, since according to Rabbi Eliezer, kiveres varm is the same as karka. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, a beehive that's resting on the ground is not mekabel tuma where it is. As the ground and anything attached to the ground is not mekabel tuma, cannot become tuma. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, this beehive when it's resting on the ground is also not mekabel tuma. But haroda mimena b'shabbat is chai. And somebody who removes honey from the beehive that's resting on the ground on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is chai v'chata. And this would be considered one of the 39 malachas. As just like when you uproot something that's grown from the ground, you're high for the malacha of toilet, so too, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you remove honey from the beehive, you're higher for the malacha of toilet. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim hold that a kiveres varm that's simply resting on the ground, but is not cemented to the ground, doesn't have a din of karka. It has a din of metatum, of movable object. So therefore, when your kone kiveres varm that's resting on the ground, the kinyanim that are done are not the kinyanim of karka. Instead, you would do the kinyanim of metaltolim, such as meshicha or hakbah. The inkais bin Allah prusbal, somebody who borrowed money, and the borrower has no land, all he has is a kiveres varm that's resting on somebody else's ground. According to the chachamim, that would not be sufficient to allow the lender to write a prusbal. And since the borrower has to own land to allow the lender to write a prusbal, and he does not own land, he only owns a kiveres varm that's resting on the ground, it doesn't have a din of karka, and therefore the lender cannot write a prusbal. Umekabelas tuma ben karma. And according to the chachamim, when the kiveres varm is resting on the ground, it is mekabel tuma. And according to the chachamim, it has a din of metaltolim of movable objects, which are mekabel tuma. And somebody who removes honey from the beehive on Shabbos is Pater, according to the Chachamim. This is not similar to the Malacha of Toilesh, and since according to the Chachamim, the Kiveres Varm is not the same as Karka, you're not chayav for Toilesh. To be chayav for Toilesh, you have to rip something from the ground, but in this case, you're not removing something from the ground, and the Kiveres Varm, according to the Chachamim, does not have a din of Karka. Somebody who attempts to repay a loan after Shvi'as has ended, the lender is not allowed to accept the money. He has to tell the borrower, I am mishamit the chov. I am forfeiting the chov. As even though the lender himself did not ask the borrower for the money back, the borrower on his own offered to repay the money, Even so, the lender cannot accept the money. Instead, he must say, Mishabed Ani, I am forfeiting the chuv. Amar lo af pi kein yekabel mimenu shenemar bezed dvar shmita. But if after the malva told the loba that I'm forfeiting the chuv, the loba said, even so, I want to give you the loan as a matana. I want to give you as a gift the repayment of the loan. In such a case, the lender would be allowed to take the money from the borrower. This is learned from the pasuk, that the pasuk says, "Vezed dvar hashmita." This is the word of shmita. The lender only has to say one word. He first has to say, I'm forfeiting the chuv. That's the one statement that the lender must say. But once the lender has said his one statement that he is forfeiting the chuv, if the borrower insists on repaying the chuv, even after the lender has told him that he's mishamit the chuv, in such a case, the lender would be allowed to take the money. Kiyozibo, similarly, Roseach Shagolo Le'ir Mikla, Burazu Anjeir Lechabdu. Somebody who was a Roseach, a murderer, he did so Bishogeg unintentionally, and they did it, that somebody who killed Bishogeg was going to exile to an Ir Mikla, a city of refuge. Now, if somebody killed Bishogeg, and the person who killed is a hush of a person, a prominent person, and he ran to the Ir Mikla, and the people in the Ir Mikla wanted to be Mechabedin, they wanted to give him the honor that was due him as a chassid of a person. Yom Elohim, Roseach Ani. The Roseach should say, I'm a Roseach. In other words, don't be mechabed me. I killed somebody for shogeg. It's not fitting to honor me. Amru lo afal. He came, yikabu mehem. Shenema, bezeh dvar ha-Roseach. But if the people in the city of refuge, even after the Roseach attempted at first to shy away from the cover, they still told him, we want to be mechabed you anyway, even though we know that you're a roseach, but we still think it's fitting to honor you. In such a case, he would be allowed to accept the honor. As the pasuk says, this is the word of the roseach, meaning the roseach only has to say one statement in an attempt to get away from the kavod. But if after he makes a statement saying that he's a roseach and kavod is not fitting him, the people in the city of refuge anyway want to be mechabed him, in such a case, the roseach would be allowed to accept the kavod.